Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rumors, Money, and Movies. As always, I am your host, James Bass Stone. Thank you guys for joining us for our final episode of 2023 and a special holiday episode. As I referenced in the title, I have a major, major podcast altering announcement at the end of the show today that I thought about long and hard and that I'm comfortable with the decision that I'm going to make. Our last episode was with George Segal, who I thought was a great interview and a really interesting guy. I thought he had a lot of really interesting perspectives on the world, based individual. And I really enjoyed what he had to say. Well, last week I was in the city and I saw him out of the blue, was walking on the same street as him, saw him in Midtown Manhattan. And I'm very rarely in the city. I'm in the city maybe 2-3 times a month. He doesn't even live there. He's from Tampa Bay, Florida. And we talked for a minute. It was really a crazy experience, actually, because think about that. Like, he was in the city once a year or once in a blue moon. He's never there. He lives in Tampa Bay, Florida. And I'm in the city twice a month. So the odds that I was going to be in the city is like, what, a 0.5% chance, right? A 1% chance. The thing that he was going to be in the city at any given day is like a 0.025% chance. At the same time, you multiply those two together, it's literally at the same date, same time, same place. It's insanity. That's cinema, folks. That's the power of movie making. And it was just, and all kidding aside, it was actually like a crazy experience a little bit. I want to start off with that. I also want to start off with the fact that since the last episode, I worked on a feature film, which was an interesting experience. And I'm still pursuing that, but we're going to see what's going to go on sort of in 2024 with that. As many of you know, Hollywood, working in film, not even Hollywood per se, but working in film is a very unorthodox career in the sense of industry standards, pay, hourly commitments, the work that you're doing, what's happening on set. Sometimes you get a little oh wow with it. So just trying to strategize which is the best way to carry that out, that plan, obviously, because film is such a difficult industry to break into, but also an industry that and an art form that I love. Right. So I'm still really excited about that. And I did learn a lot from those experiences. Now, to move on from that, got two topics today to discuss. First being box office, and I'll talk a little bit about Hollywood movies, and then I'll get into that breaking news announcement. So first, the box office. Since we last talked, Taylor Swift was popping off at the box office in the month of October. The weekend of October 27th, Five Nights at Freddy's was number one. November 3rd, Five Nights at Freddy's was number one. November 10th, Marvel's won at the box office. November 17th, Hunger Games prequel won at the box office. November 24th, Hunger Games prequel won at the box office. December 1st, Beyonce's concert film won at the box office. December 8th was an anime film, The Boy and the Heron. And December 15th was Willy Wonka. Now, what I take away from that is that, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but the biggest, most important thing about all of this year is that in the box office to finish number one, only two films finished number one that were not based off a previous established franchise or IP. The Boy and the Heron, which is an anime film from Japan, and Knock at the Cabin, an M. Night Shyamalan film. Every other film, Avatar The Way of Water, Super Mario Bros., Barbie, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, The Flash, Hunger Games, Five Nights at Freddy's, whatever it might have been, Insidious, The Red Door, every single film, The Exorcist, every single film was based off of a pre-established IP. That, to me, is more interesting than anything else. Because you look at a film like The Marvels that opened, compared to The Ant-Man and the Wasp, compared to The Guardians of the Galaxy, this film opened with the lowest opening ever for a Marvel film, Marvel Cinematic Universe film. And is going to finish with the lowest ever total of a Marvel Cinematic Universe film at around $200 million. It's an embarrassment. Enough so that Marvel's kind of pausing their Cinematic Universe at the moment because nobody cares. But you look at a film like any of these films, who cares, right? And the quality has been really bad. I heard Five Nights at Freddy's was not very good, right? I've heard that Wonka is not a very good film. Like, The quality isn't good of these films. They're not making a lot of money. I mean, what's gonna give? Because since I last talked, the strike ended, and people are like, well, this is gonna be the game changer of the industry. I say, how? How? It, I don't think the strike, honestly, reading the terms of the agreements, is gonna change a lot from a standpoint of what the studios are gonna make. And even earlier today, there are talks of Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount merging. So think of it like this. 5 years ago, what did we have? We had a big six studio system. Warner Brothers, Paramount, Sony, Universal, 20th Century Fox, Disney. 20th Century Fox buys the majority of 20th Century Fox's assets, other than Fox, Fox News, Fox Sports. Everything else they bought, FX, they bought the studio, they bought everything. Warner Brothers merges with Discovery. Discovery that owns Discovery, Food Network, HGTV, all these different cable properties. They merge with Warner Brothers. Now, the second biggest studio and the second biggest entertainment conglomerate, traditional entertainment conglomerate, and Warner Brothers might be merging with probably the fourth largest traditional entertainment conglomerate. I'm not including Netflix, I'm not including Amazon, I'm not including Apple. I'm talking about traditional, cable or theatrical. Disney's number one, Universal's number two, Warner Brothers is number two. Honestly, I mean, Universal might be number one, but the top three are interchangeable because you could technically argue, well, Warner Brothers is bigger than Disney, well, you know, whatever. Okay, Disney, let's just say Disney's number one, Warner Brothers is number two, Universal's number three, Paramount's number four. Discovery was what? In the top eight. 20th Century Fox was in the top eight. So now we're going to conglomerate everything into Disney, Warner Brothers, Universal. That's it. Now you're just going to get continually bigger companies, bigger mergers, and there's going to be less incentive to make smaller films. Because now, think about how much IP Warner Brothers is going to have. Now they're going to add all of the Paramount IP, Transformers, Star Trek, Mission Impossible, etc., etc. And now they're going to be able to capitalize on the Showtime portfolio, the Paramount Plus. Everything. It makes everything worse. It's going to affect professional wrestling, AEW, which is what I love, is definitely going to affect them. It's going to affect the NBA. It's going to affect the NHL. It's going to affect sports if you're into that sort of thing. And it's going to affect cable because now CBS and TNT are going to be on the same channel, right? How does that affect everything? Like it's in the early stages. It's not a done deal or anything like that. But where there's smoke, there's fire. And if that goes through, you're gonna have instead of six major studios, four major studios. You know, it's a little dangerous. I'll leave it at that. Speaking of Hollywood, I wanted to talk a little bit about Hollywood movies. Because the last couple years I've been trying to watch these movies, and I've been trying to watch Thanksgiving movies and Christmas movies and things. And I really began to think about why? What are people's fascinations with a Christmas movie, with a Thanksgiving movie, right? But Thanksgiving movies aren't that popular, right? I mean, you have a handful of Thanksgiving movies, but nobody's like, let's go watch a Thanksgiving movie Thanksgiving week. But everybody in the month of December wants to watch Christmas movies. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, Love Actually, Santa Claus, Jack Frost, whatever it is, a Christmas Story, whatever it is, Christmas Carol. And you wonder why, right? Hallmark has made a living off of these films. Why? And you begin to think about what the holidays mean to people and how film can make that even clearer, right? Because what do the holidays mean to people? I'm not the biggest holiday person. What does a holiday mean to people? This idea of nostalgia. Thinking about, maybe loved ones that are no longer with you, or family that are far away, or childhood memories, or a sense of innocence, or a sense of unadulterated love and hope and optimism for the future. Right? I think people kind of think about, oh, Christmas time and New Year's is a hope of a better future, a hope of a better tomorrow, right? An improved. I'm not saying anything new, right? People get, they don't need me to tell you this, obviously. But it's funny how movies, right? Fit identifiably with that. Music fits identifiably with that, right? What's your favorite Christmas song? What is your favorite Christmas movie? These things are very much ingrained in our culture. And I think it goes to this sort of unspoken ability of art to resemble the human experience. This unspoken ability, this unacknowledged ability for real art. I'm talking about real art here. I'm not talking about Hunger Games songs, ballads, and sings, or whatever the name of the. I don't give a shit what the name of this movie is. I didn't write it down. It's some BS, right? Or Five Nights at Freddy's, or if you like those kind of movies, and if you like that movie, I'm not disrespect. Look, there's you could watch that. Well, within your right, I'm glad for you, but that's not art, right? There's a difference. It's not, right? It's just not. Art is something that is earned. Art is something that says something, and I think that that's sort of something that I really think a lot of people, even in the film industry, have lost is this understanding of what actual art is and why you're there. Right? Are you there? Are you someone who's there to just make money? Are you there for someone who just wants to have their name on a credit? Oh, look, I line produced. Oh, look, I AD'd. Are you there because you're genuinely trying to make something that's of merit, that means something that you or me could watch or read or listen to and be like, wow. And not everything is going to do that. I've watched a lot of movies in the last month, and a lot of them I haven't liked. They've been on one of the worst stretches of watching film I've ever been on. For some reason, I can't watch a movie I like. I don't understand it. Almost every movie I watch on Letterboxd is 2 stars, 2.5. Like, it's just like a lot of movies that I'm just not a big fan of. But some of them I don't think they're good, but some of them I just don't like, right? But there's even films that I didn't like as much as maybe I should have or could have or whatever it might have been. But the point being is art is subjective and objective. Art, there is an objectivity to art, obviously, but it also is a little bit of subjectivity too. I think it's 60% objectivity, 40% subjectivity. But what's not subjective is the fact that holiday movies can impact you. And I think holiday movies are a very interesting way to connect with people. Because a lot of holiday movies are not very good, right? There's a lot of Hallmark movies that are terrible. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. That are definitely not art. They're not art. And even people who watch them would admit they're not art. But they still connect with people because they gain this feeling. And what I'm only really trying to say with this little mini essay is that that's what art can do. Art can do what a holiday can do. Take you back to that childhood memory. Take you back to that first love. Take you back to that moment in time with your family, whatever it might have been. And that to me, I think, is why I'm in this business, why I'm trying to live this life. And I think why a lot of other people are, but also why art is made is to try to connect with those moments and connect with those people in a way that you can't otherwise. Thank you for indulging in me with that. Now, I move on to the major announcement, the podcast altering announcement. And again, I promised everybody this would be the last time I would use this verbiage. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to say this is, the podcast, this is the chain, whatever it might be, podcast altering, because I don't want to be the guy who says that every single episode. But I do mean it, that this is going to be a really important episode. Because when I started this podcast, I had a couple goals in mind. I had a goal that I was going to do this for a couple of years, to at least the end of college. I passed that goal. I had another goal that I was going to raise the legitimacy of this podcast, that I was going to make this podcast a better podcast, that it wasn't going to be what it was in the beginning. And I think anybody who listens to this podcast can admit and can understand that this podcast is a whole lot of a lot better than it was previously. That this podcast has greatly, greatly improved over the years. But I had another goal too, which was to get to 100 episodes. And as many of you know, we are 86 episodes, and this is going to be the 86th episode in Rumors, Money, and Movies history. And We've had great interviews, right? Scarlett Antonia was a great interview. George Segal was a great interview. Jasper Pendergrass Jr., a sock, right? Bruce Nash multiple times. But recently, I've been kind of reconsidering this podcast a little bit, and I've kind of lost the urge to do it, right? I mean, as many of you know, I only had the Barbie episode, I had the Antonia Arts episode, and I had the George Segal episode in this one since May. There's only four episodes. And with the content black hole getting bigger and the amount of competition in the podcast sphere, I feel like not only do I not want to, I don't want, I don't have the time or energy to put in the effort that this would deserve to make this big. I also don't really want to. I haven't gotten as much back from this podcast. Not that I hate it. Not that I'm even upset or anything. I just, things change, right? That's why. Not even sadly, it's actually happy. I'm announcing that 2024 will be the last year of rumors, money, and movies. And there's still a lot to look forward to. I hope to have Bruce Nash back on. We're going to have that Dune Part 2 episode. Absolutely. We're going to have the Oscars. We're going to have an Oscars pre-show and an Oscars live post-show. But we're going to wrap it up. We're going to end it with 100 episodes. And that 100 episode, I plan to have sort of like a greatest hits show, similar to what we had with our anniversary shows, which is why I'm actually going to move the anniversary show. We've been having those anniversary shows every January. I'm going to save that. And instead, I'm going to move that show to the 100th episode. And the 100th episode is going to be everybody comes on and whoever it is, and we just BS and talk, and that's it. And that's the show. And we wrap it up and that's it. I'm not even acting. I don't know. It's been a big part of my life, but I think it's time to kind of hang up the cleats with it. And I think this year was sort of a wake up call in a lot of ways, specifically with the podcast of a do I really want to put in the effort? Do I have the time? Do I have the energy? And again, just to I haven't I want to focus my energy on my comic and getting that off the ground and my career and trying to figure out, what exactly to do. And I thank everybody for the support. Obviously, it's not over yet. We still have 14 episodes. I know one of those is going to be Dune. I know two of those are going to be for the Oscars. And I know one of those is going to be the series finale where everyone comes on. And hell, there might be episodes, Bryan Danielson, who's retiring from wrestling this year, actually, this is how I got the motivation. So if Bryan Danielson ever ends up listening to this, thank you, sir. Because he kind of said, well, he's like, it's not my last match in 2024. I might come back and have, four matches in a month or have a match every 3 years. I might have episodes periodically, but I think as a monthly or a periodic episode, a sort of podcast, 2024 is going to be the last year. And so to avoid being redundant, this is the last podcast of 2023, and we're going to have 14 shows, killer shows, now episodes 87 to 100 in 2024. And I'm thinking actually, because that's when I started the show, the radio show was October. I'll get it for you right now. I didn't even plan on doing this. This is all real time, folks. It was October 4th, 2019, 2 days after AEW started. So I'm gonna tell you right now what the I'm gonna tell you right now what the end of the episode is. We're gonna book it right now. This is on the fly. This part was not actually guaranteed. Wow. We're gonna do 5 years today, folks. October 4th, 2024 will be the last episode of Rumors, Money, and Movies. 5 years to the day. If that's not the butterfly effect, folks, I don't know what is. 5 years today will be the last episode, and we're gonna have 13 episodes between now and then. So I'll have to figure it out. Probably do, I gotta figure it out. But October 4th, and I'm gonna go all in on advertising for that. I'm gonna try to make that a big episode, really big episode. And I'm gonna tell people, yo, if you don't listen to this, don't call me for New Year's. Don't call me to hang out in the city. If you're not there, I'm gonna put it at a good time for everybody. Friday's a tough day, but we'll figure it. It's gonna be that. It has to be that day though, because if it's not that day, You can't have a perfect schedule like that. 5 years to the day? Stop it. All right, everybody. I bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to Rumors, Money, and Movies. As always, follow us on. Actually, I deactivated the Twitter. I gotta tell you, a cesspool of an app, a complete waste of time. The IWC, the International Wrestling Community, garbage takes, garbage people, and then I'd end up reading about sports that I don't want to know about, or like you'd see like Trump trending, and then you look at it for 3 minutes, and it's just I don't care. I don't care. I haven't used the app. I actually have no urges to use the app. There's a couple of accounts that I actually want to like see what they're posting, so I'll look at kind of through like a third party channel to try to get their stuff. But like again, like literally 2 minutes a day, just like I want to see what they're saying about some stuff. Other than that, haven't used that app. Instagram, honestly, I just use that for networking. Don't follow that. What I really want everybody to follow is Letterboxd, JABNYRIC. That is JABNYRIC. Please follow the Letterboxd if you haven't already. Guys, happy Hanukkah for those who celebrated. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Bon Natale. And I hope everybody understands the decision, respects the decision, and is ready for the best year ever. Because I'm gonna go all in now. We are going all in. And this is sort of for me now. You know what? 2024, I'm gonna be doing a lot of other stuff, obviously, of course. But one thing I have to do, and I have to do with the best of my ability, is this podcast. Appreciate all you guys' support. Please make sure follow the podcast on Spotify, rate it on Apple, wherever you listen. And also make sure to share it with people. It's very important and helps Spotify out. It helps me a lot when you share it, because then, it helps me in the algorithm. Thanks, everybody. Peace out. See you in the new year for one last ride. Bye-bye.